In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
The Scripture tells us that without a vision, the people perish. Without a vision, the people perish. You must know that God does not do anything without revealing it to his prophets. God does not do anything without revealing it to his prophets. It was revealed to Joseph in jail, the dream of the Pharaoh. It was revealed, and Joseph gave instructions to Mr. Pharaoh that there would be 7 years of bounty and 7 years of famine. And during the years of bounty, they were to fill up the storehouses so that they could supply grain for the world, for the nations. You must know that God wants his people to supply the word of God to the nations. You must know that, as Amos tells us in the 8th chapter, I believe, in the last days there will be a famine, and it will not be of bread, but of the word of God. And we are living in those days. We have been living in those days for many years. I used to preach this in 1984 and 85. Now, that was on radio. Now we're in 2007, and I would say the famine of the Word of God has gotten worse. So let's look at the first line and see what it says. When hunger came to be felt throughout the land of Egypt, and the people cried to Pharaoh for bread, Pharaoh directed all the Egyptians to go to Joseph and do whatever Joseph told him or them. You must know that the world is hungry for the word of God. It doesn't know it. It has no idea that it's hungry for the word of God. And you know, we are the storehouses of the word of God. We who believe that the Lord has died for us and been raised from the dead, and that he lives in our hearts by faith, and that we function through grace, we are the storehouses of the Word of God. And we do not have the right to keep the Word of God from people, because people are hungry to hear about Jesus. They are hungry. Wherever we go, people are hungry. You've just got to say that. Wherever I go, people are hungry. Wherever I go, people are hungry. That means the milkman is hungry. That means the storekeeper is hungry. That means the car dealer is hungry. That means the teacher is hungry. That means the people you sit next to in the airport, they are hungry. That's real. Joseph was the one that was going to feed the nations with grain because he interpreted the vision. And Pharaoh put him over his whole nation. Now, I want you to also know this about Mr. Joseph in the Old Testament. Before he was in the palace, he was in the pit. Everybody wants to be directed to the palace without going into the pit. We all want the palace, and nobody wants the pit. Now, I don't blame you, but I'm going to tell you, if you get to the palace without first being in the pit, you're going to be a tyrannical ruler, because you're not going to know what it's all about. I don't know if you saw the King of Scotland. It was terrible. That poor bum, that Idi Amin, the poor bum is all you can say, the way he treated. You don't treat people well unless you have known the pit. If you don't know the pit, you cannot ever rule from the palace, because then you will be a tyrannical person. And that's real. That's real. Jeremiah knew the pit. before he spoke the hard word. He knew what it was to be in a cistern in mud up to his waist or wherever he was. He knew the pit. But I have good news about the pit. It's only for a time. The pit is not forever. The pit is not for, it's only for a time. God wants to promote his people from the pit to the palace. But we must never forget what happened in the pit. We must never forget when we were in darkness and how we experienced darkness and how God was caring for us even when we didn't feel it and how he brought us out of the pit into the palace, whatever the palace is. So now Joseph is in the palace, and he has charge of Pharaoh and Pharaoh's goods, and his very brothers come to him for wheat, for grain. What comes around goes around. And Joseph was not vindictive. Joseph knew that they meant it for evil, the brothers, but God meant it for good. That's faith. That's faith. So there is a hunger, as there was a hunger in out all the world. For those 7 years, there was a famine. And Joseph had stored up all the grain. There is a greater hunger now for the word of God. But who have you told about Jesus? Who have you witnessed to about Jesus? As Sister Linda Kuhn said to us, the world needs witnesses more than it needs a cure for cancer. And the world needs witnesses more than it needs converts, because converts end up sitting in the pews. Now, if we do not witness Christ to people, that means people will be lost. If we do not bring the word of God gently, our testimony, the best that we can, we don't have to be preachers. We just need to share. Let me just tell you what happened on our way home from wherever we went to Chicago. Father Martin and I couldn't get on the plane on Sunday night, so we thought. So we ended up at a Greek restaurant, which wasn't very bad. It was pretty good, as a matter of fact. I enjoyed it. Then we went back to somebody's home, and we laughed until we cried that night. And then we woke up the next day to get our first plane. We were on, whatever. So we're on standby. So being on standby, you know what happens? It was full. We couldn't get on. Oh, yeah, that's what you call the standby experience. You know, you just have to have patience. So you do the best you can, you know, and we walk from one part of the airport to the other. You know, that's the only way I walk when you're in airports. You go from A to H to H to K, you know, you're going up and down like whatever. Anyway, in the meantime, you see how God does things. We happen to see Sister Debbie from Trinidad. And as a result of me missing our plane, I might be going to Trinidad to preach at Charismatic Conference. Okay? So, now I'm not saying I am, but as a result of it, we met Sister Debbie. So, well, that just might happen. It might not happen. It's in God's hands. It doesn't make a difference, whatever he wants. So, finally, we get on the next plane. Okay? We get on the next plane, and I'm sitting down, you know. I was about to sit down, and there was this Chinese couple, and the little girl was not with the mother. I was going to take the little girl's seat. So I said, let the little girl go with the mother. I said, I'll sit here. It was the father next to the father. And, you know, we started to talk about, what do you start talking about? Food, you know. You know, talk about food. Yeah, everybody likes to talk about food. So I asked him what kind of food he liked, and he said he liked Italian food more than anything. And so I said, that's very nice. And he said, you know a good Italian restaurant in Boston? I said, you want to go to the North End if you want to get the good Italian food in Boston. And then we began to talk about his job, and he wanted to know what I was, and I was a priest, and he didn't really know what a priest was. And I don't even know what a priest is. I'm still finding out after 28 years. But I'm doing the best I can. But anyway, he's telling me, you know. And so I ask him about his faith, and he tells me He tells me that he's doing a Bible study. He never had any faith, never went to church. He's doing a Bible study in a Lutheran church, and he says, I know Jesus. I said, well, hallelujah, isn't that wonderful that you know Jesus anyway? And we began to talk more, and he said, you know, Marco Polo brought pasta back to Italy. I said, I know that, from China. You know, they call it lo mein now, or noodles, or whatever. We call it macaroni, but that's another issue. So I said to him, listen, I said, how many days do you hear in Boston? He says, 3. My wife was at a conference. I said, you come to my house tomorrow night with your family, and I will cook for you. And it'll be better than any restaurant in the North End. But you've got to let me know you're coming. So I will be by the phone at about 10:15. Let me know if you're coming, because I can't cook unless I know you're coming. You know, I have to prepare. You just don't do these things just off the cuff. Well, you can, but that's another issue. So anyway, he called me at 10:15, decided that the whole family was coming, the two little girls, his wife, and himself. So we had a lovely dinner last night, and we ate, and we drank, and we talked, and we shared, and all that kind of stuff, you know. It was really lovely. I didn't know these people any more than anybody else, you know. But anyway, they're at our table, and before they leave, you know, I gave them a whole package of my CDs so that they could go listen to them. And then we prayed over them and prayed for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the man said, I have never felt so much love. But you see, it's in going the extra mile, okay? It's in going the extra mile that God rewards that. I'm not even going to tell you that there weren't motives behind it. You know, I told you we're all a bunch of mixed nuts, mostly peanuts. Very few cashews. But the Lord honors those things. Now, these people are going to remember being loved more than any words about being preached to. They're going to remember that. It's going to stick in their hearts. Wherever they go, they'll remember last night, because it was more than pasta. It was more than pesto. It was more than sausages and more than lamb and steak. We had lots of stuff last night. And more than wine. It was more. The Lord was present where we were. And the Lord knows how to love and to touch people. Let me tell you, when I was in Israel in February with Father Adam and Father Matthew, I was by the Western Wall, and it was Sabbath, and you know, the Jewish people were singing their psalms and dancing and doing the best they could. It was wonderful. I love that. I love going on Sabbath to the Western Wall. I love it. It's one of my favorite things to do. But you know what? This man comes up to me and says, it's Sabbath, and I would like to take you home to my family so you do not eat alone tonight. Well, you know, I was so moved by that. I said, I really thank you. I says, but I'm going to have dinner with my friends tonight. But I'm very grateful for your love and hospitality. I can still remember that man. Beautiful young man with glasses, dressed well. But just that he went out of his way to invite me to his house to share a Sabbath dinner. My Lord, that means everything. That means everything. Just going out of your way a little bit to be able to bring the Word of God, to be able to love people, to be able to touch people in the name of Jesus, just going out of your way a very little, the Lord rewards that so greatly. But you see, if you don't do that, you don't see those things. You might say, you know, my house isn't clean. Well, let me tell you another story. We went someplace last year, and we were in an airport, and we had to stay over at a person's house. The person's house was a husband and wife and several children. They were beautiful. I have never seen such a dirty, dirty, dirty bathroom in my whole life. But I'm going to tell you, those people were congenial. Those people were loving. Those people were kind. I don't think she was a good housekeeper. But you know what? That really didn't make a difference. That really didn't make a difference. The difference was how open they were to us, how they treated us, how kind they were, how you know, we needed to get up early, how they got us up, how they made us breakfast. You know, to do those things that love demands. The dirty bathroom meant nothing. The dirty bathroom meant nothing. It's the kindness of these people. Because those people could have cared less about their bathroom. They cared more about the kids and about their guests. What an impression that made upon me too, about the kindness. God interpreted the vision for Joseph because he cares for people. He cares when he sees people hungry. He cares when he sees people hurting. He cares when he sees people in anguish. He cares when he sees people adrift. He cares. God cares. But you know what? God can care all he wants. But unless he has a people who also care, I'm going to tell you, the hungry will go hungry. The distressed will be in distress. The anguished will be in anguish. The pained will be in pain. Unless God's people are raised up not to think about themselves, but to think about Jesus Christ and about his people. Unless we become centered on Jesus and upon other people, I'm going to tell you, the hungry will stay hungry. God gave that vision interpretation to Joseph so that the nations would be fed, because God cares about people. God has raised up a church so that his church would worship him and care about people. That's why he raised up a church. So that his church would bring into the storehouses of the kingdom people from all walks of life and from every nation under heaven. God has done that. He hasn't raised up his church so that we would just be like Mickey the Dunce, sitting in corners praying the rosary or even praising the Lord. We need to do those things. But we need to go out from ourselves. We need to do that. We need to be witnesses. We need to tell about Jesus. We need to invite people into our homes. We need to care for people. That's what the cults do. The cults will do for a lie what we won't do for the truth. The cults will invite people into their homes. The cults will give them food. The cults will bring them food. The cults will drive them to their meetings. That's what the cults do. We won't do for the truth what the cults will do for a lie. Because we're all so very, very, you know, it's... I say this poem all the time. Now I lay me down to sleep with a bag of peanuts at my feet. If I should die before I wake, give it to my brother Jake. It's all about me, and it's all about those close to me. You know, we just don't want the circle to expand too much because, you know, we don't want to be inconvenienced. Well, I'm going to tell you, when you decided to follow Jesus, the first thing he said, inconvenience will be one of the laws. And I will use your inconvenience. It's not comfortable to live on a cross. It's not comfortable to care for people. It's not comfortable. You never know what they're going to do to you. I remember the time I was a seminarian in Gloucester. Tell this story a long time ago. I haven't told it in a long time now. Very interesting. I was driving home from Gloucester, and I pick up this hitchhiker. And at that time, I was picking up hitchhikers. And While I picked up this hitchhiker, he had a brown bag in his hand, and he's fishing around. And I'm thinking, oh, my Lord, I'm going to be dead. There's a gun in this brown bag, and he's going to shoot this man in the head. Anyway, I start to change the subject, of course. He's fishing in his brown bag. I don't know what he has in his brown bag. I'm not privileged to what the material in his brain. So what I do is I say to him, I said, you know, I'm a seminarian. He says, what in the world is that? I said, well, I'm preparing to be a priest. He said, why would you do a thing like that? I said, because the Lord loves me and I love him, and I've decided to give my whole life to him as a priest. And he says, you know, I've never gone to church, and I've never prayed. You know, I was so upset. I was supposed to be going 128 south, but I went around and went 128 north. I'm going the wrong way now. I don't know. I just know I was going the wrong way, and I was freaked out. But now I'm starting to get a little more comfortable. I turn around and I tell him, I'll drive you exactly where you want to go. So I'm driving and I'm driving. And the kid says, you know, I've never prayed before. He says, and I need to tell you something. So I said, what do you need to tell me? He says, I once was driving a school bus and I backed it up and I hit a little child and the child died. I was getting the vibes about murder. I was getting the vibes about murder. I thought he had a gun in the brown bag. So I was getting the pain that this guy was shooting out at me. I just didn't know how to interpret it until he started to talk to me. When he started to talk to me, I realized it wasn't a gun. I realized it was his guilt that he had killed a child. So finally we stop at the place he's going, and I said, let me pray with you. And we'll ask Jesus to come into your heart and to just tell you how much he loves you and that you didn't kill that child on purpose. I said, but I could tell you that for the rest of the 40 years. Unless Jesus tells that to you in your heart, you're never going to believe it. And so we prayed, not for a long time, just for a short time, and I let him go to where he needed to go, and I went to where I needed to be. There was a hunger that was felt throughout the land of Egypt. And the people cried out to Pharaoh. The people are crying out to the church for bread. I am the bread of life, Jesus says, for the word of God. And Pharaoh directed all the Egyptians to go to Joseph and do whatever he told them. You are Joseph. I am Joseph. If we do not share the word of God and we do not love people, what good are we? Like in all reality, what good are we? We're just bumps on logs waiting for the rapture. But honey, there ain't going to be one unless there's a rupture first. What good are we? We are called to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. That's what we're called to be. We are not called to be bumps on logs. We are called to go out of our way to care for people. That's what we're called to. That's what we're called to. And we need to make sure we're going out of our way sometimes during the week rather than just think about my own problems and my own issues and my own pit. We've all got them. Believe me. How many people are there in here? There are all these people in here tonight. We're all people with problems. There's not been one person in this church that doesn't have problems. I'm just happy you're finding out where to go with them when you have them. That you run to Jesus and you run to him quickly and you say, Lord, I got problems. Can you help me? I don't know how to deal with them. Can you teach me? I don't know what to do next. Can you give me the next step? I'm kind of in the dark, Lord. I need your light. Lord, I'm dependent upon you because I've got nobody else. We're all people with problems. But you know what? He's the Lord and he's the solution. And in the midst of our troubles, he calls us to share the word, the bread of life. He calls us to be Joseph in the midst of people.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.